Accession number 14592, Reel 4.
Mr. Tutor, Reel 4.
So this didn't upset me as much as you might imagine. Of course, at this time I wasn't in hospital anymore. At this time I was in Bart in Luft 1, in a camp. I'd been sent there because when we were moved from Obermassfeld to a place called Kloster Heine, which was another hospital, by that time I was as relatively fit. At Kloster Heine they had the blind school, where all the blind went. And they were very fortunate in that one of the officers of the Green Howards was a lieutenant, was Lord Normanby, who had quite a pull with Churchill and various other people. So the blind school was established at Kloster Heine, and they had a very good New Zealand doctor who was a specialist on eyes. they brought in a German professor, so-called, who taught Braille. And what we did, I was dragged into this, and I helped with the blind school. I did entertainment and various things. But we had somebody teaching them music and so on and so forth. So that was what I was doing then. The RAF blokes decided, amongst us, we decided to have a go at escaping this at this particular time. And the net result was that about six of them got out. Two of us who were under training, we decided we could never make it at the time because I was still walking with a stick. But the Germans got very cross about this and immediately threw out about 10 of us RAF, and we were sent out to a camp. That was how I got out to a camp. Otherwise, to all intents and purposes, we would have probably stayed in this hospital until repatriation.
Seems amazing that people in physical difficulties should have even contemplated escaping.
Well, it was quite amusing, actually, because the blokes who went had all had broken necks and one arm and all this sort of thing, but they all decided to have a go. And there was a chap named Jackson and myself used to pound around the compound day after day after day training, but we found we could only walk about half a mile or so. So we gave up in the end. We decided there wasn't any point in just going for half a mile. But they were all picked up. They were all recaptured within about a day or so. But that was how I came to be in a camp. They sent us up to Bart, which, of course, is up in Pomerania.
How did you feel they treated you between then and repatriation?
Well, camp life wasn't too bad, provided you had Red Cross parcels. That was the old story. I mean, and to be fair, I'd had a rough time at the beginning when I was in hospital, but from the time I was, certainly from the later period, from probably about 1941-ish, end of 41, from the end of 41 onwards, once we were getting parcels, you couldn't call life too hard. I mean, it was... apart from the incarceration, as long as you could get food, you were okay. You could get involved in whatever activities were going on if you were fit enough. I got involved in entertainment, among other things, and in the camp, of course, there was plenty of sport for those who could do it, and there were a lot of very amateurish, in those early days, very amateurish attempts at escape, one way or another. But it was all, it wasn't difficult, or wasn't too bad, looking back in reflection. This was not a hard time at all.
Were you worried in case your apparent condition to the Germans improved so much that it prevented you going back?
Not really, because for some reason, there was the old story, if you were once passed for repatriation, nobody ever seemed to follow that up. There were about, as I say, about eight of us in this camp who had come from the hospital, all due for repatriation. I mean, obviously one, for example, he only had one leg. One was partly paralysed. But there were at least three of us who, to all, you know, to all outward appearances, were virtually fit, fairly fit. I mean, I had a leg that was 2.5 inches short, but I mean, I could get around fine. And I certainly probably looked as fit as anybody. But, no, there was no concern, really. I mean, you just took things as they came.
Can you describe the process of repatriation now, please?
Yes. Well, when I was eventually at Heidekrug, you weren't given much notice. I think I was given about... I might have been given 24 hours notice that I was going to be repatriated, but I know the escape committee rushed up and tried to give me all sorts of gin to take home, because this was just after they'd shot all those blokes on Itstella, the officers they shot in the big escape. And the news had just broken, and I brought home some information on that. That was from Sagan. Anyway, we were taken out of the compound. We were given a hurried search. Well, a pretty thorough search, actually. And then shoved on a train. We were in a train for probably about a couple of days. There were about, I don't know how many of us, not many. Probably only about 15 or 20 of us, if that. And we eventually arrived at a place called Annaberg, which is near Dresden. It's between Cottbus and Dresden. It's it was a reception place for returning POWs. And there, of course, they had everybody you can think of. They had merchant seamen, they had Americans, they had Canadians, they had diplomatic personnel being repatriated. In other words, they were civilians. I should think they were sort of ragtag and bobtail that was left over from the first repatriation, plus a whole lot of other bods. Of course, up till then, I said, well, this was the first time that they'd have had Americans or Canadians on it. No, certainly not Canadians. America, the first time they'd have had any Americans going home. But there was a complete mixed bag. Mostly Army, of course. A few Navy. And a few RAF. But mostly Army.
I think that they eventually took you to North Africa.
Well, yes. We were exchanged in Barcelona. We went down to Marseille by train. From there we went in an Italian ship to Barcelona. We were exchanged there, and then from Barcelona we went to Algiers. And when we were at Algiers, all those that were going east, which included Indians, New Zealanders, Australians, all, they all left us at Algiers. We then came home from Algiers to Belfast. And when we got to Belfast, this was on the Gripsholm, which was a Swedish liner which had been taken over by the Red Cross and was based in New York, I believe. When we got to Belfast, all the British got off, and then she went on again with the American and Canadian personnel. And we came from Belfast to Liverpool in an American banana boat. We came over. That's how we got back to England eventually.
What condition were you in by the time you got back to the UK?
Well, I thought I was 100% fit. And we went to a reception place called Wheaton, near Blackpool, and I had a medical there, and I think they virtually confirmed that. And we were given the option of what we'd like to do, and most of the army chaps, of course, took their discharge, but I said I wanted to carry on flying. So they're very good. They, having given me compassionate leave, they sent me up to Central Medical Board in London, where, in effect, their job was simply to see whether you were okay for flying. I don't think they were given any of your past history, so they wouldn't have necessarily known that I was an ex-POW, but it was just people who had been in accidents and flying accidents of various sorts coming back onto flying. And I was there, and unfortunately they picked up that I'd got TB. And it was only because of that, initially, that I went back into hospital again. Because they then decided that they wouldn't pass me for flying.
Had you had to give some written undertaking to the Germans that if you were repatriated you would not take part in the war against them?
No, we didn't, but this was generally understood, and it was when I did come back and said I wanted to carry on flying, they immediately said, oh well, you wouldn't be able to fly in the Western zone against Germany. I said, well, I knew that, but that left a whole wide world open. I felt that there must have been an awful lot of other things I could do.
So presumably the TB was because of the bad conditions in the camp?
Presumably, yes. It was years afterwards we learned, I mean, in those days you were branded TB and full stop, but in fact the particular one I'd got was a rather unusual one, and I'd obviously picked up in the camp somewhere. And it wasn't infectious or anything, but it was TB, yes. And, of course, they had only one way of treating you in those days, and that was to slap you in hospital for about a year.
Did that work?
Oh, yes. I mean, in fact, I rejected most of the treatment that I had, and I was okay, yes.
So you didn't even have to go on antibiotics?
Well, they didn't use antibiotics in those days. There were no... The only treatment you got for TB was what they called AP, which was an artificial pneumothorax, which is where they collapsed the lung. But there were no drugs used in those days for TB. That was sometime later, probably at least a year later before they started on drugs.
Did your period of imprisonment change your attitude towards the Germans?
Not as much as you might think. I met some absolute sods of Germans. I met some very good ones. I think when I came back, I was very even-minded about them altogether. Rob, this one doctor I had, he was eventually arraigned at Nuremberg. I've heard that he was sentenced in his absence to 6 months for maltreatment of prisoners of war. But I mean, I met other Germans who were, as you would expect, were pretty nasty specimens. On the other hand, I met some very good chaps among them. I met one place I was in hospital, all I had was my flying boots, and one who was a shoemaker, he came and stitched up my flying boot for me so that I'd got a pair of boots to wear. And he did that in his own time. He was, so, you know, that's how it could be. But once you got out to camps, you had very little contact with them. And I had no particularly strong feelings, no, funnily enough. It certainly wasn't due to propaganda, but compared, I think, probably to the average civilian when I got home, I wasn't as bitter about them, Germans in particular, as they were.
people nowadays seem to think that people who've been in wars have to be counselled and rehabilitated to civilian life. Was there anything, did you find it difficult to adjust to civilian life afterwards? Did you find that the war had had a traumatic effect on you?
Well, it had. And this, of course, is, as you say, there's all this counselling and so on these days. No such thing in my time. A lot of us, in fact, most of us, suffered from psychological things, although we weren't necessarily conscious of it. I was. Everybody suffered to some extent with this business of not wanting to go out and meet people, which is strange. You had that feeling. You were probably quite seriously affected. The only thing is, you weren't conscious of it. All I can say is that in my own case, and probably for years, some years afterwards, and I'm talking probably about even 6-7 years or even more, I would have probably thought I wasn't. Whilst I'd become very phlegmatic and would accept anything, and should we say I would never lose my temper, and very even tempered, that was possibly a lot to do with it, but certainly probably emotionally I was unstable for some time, because I was very bitter. I went through a very bitter period. I didn't write to any of my friends in New Zealand and all that sort of thing. I lost touch with all of them and so on. This was because I didn't want to know, purely because I suppose I felt that I'd had a rough deal having to come out of the RAF. When I was invalided out, I wasn't at all happy with being in a civilian hospital, and I I couldn't get a job because I was 100% disability. So in the end, I reluctantly went back to banking. That didn't please me. So I was a bit, very much a chip on the shoulder man for quite a time. Some years, I'm sure of that.
Was it just the passage of time which changed it?
Oh, presumably, yeah. Although you could say I'm a bit round the bend even now. I mean, certainly to an extreme, I will never lose my temper or get worked up about anything. Because one always, having been a prisoner, you realise that life just isn't worth getting worked up about over small things, which may seem big things at the time, but they're not. So I think that probably it still affects us. It still affects anybody who was a POW, I think, if they were there long enough. I think you had to be there about 3 years. They reckoned you went round the bend after 3 years, and I think that's probably true to some extent. It certainly affected you psychologically.